Welcome to this edition of SKNIS Week in Review, a program highlighting the top stories of the work of the government of St. Kitts and Nevis for the past week. Here's a look at some of the highlights for the week of August 7th to 13th, 2020. Government targets October 2020 for reopening of borders. Bills passed to boost national security and foster greater coherence within the financial services sector. Government imposes $500 penalty for persons not wearing masks in public. And early childhood institutions reopened. I am your presenter, Sharima Matthew. The mandatory wearing of face masks in public places has now officially become a fixed penalty notice, a ticket, as a minimum fine of $500 will be given to persons in breach of public safety regulations. Superintendent Cromwell Henry of the Royal St. Christopher and Nevis Police Force explains further.
The regulation provides for fixed penalty notices, or what we call tickets, to be issued to persons who refuse to wear their masks. And the regulation under Regulation 22.2, it says a police officer may issue a fixed penalty notice to any person who contravenes the provisions of Section 15 in relation to the wearing of a face mask in public places.
Anyone who refuses to pay the fine within 10 business days from the date of the notice will go before the court, where the magistrate has the power to increase the $500 fine to up to $5,000 and 6 months imprisonment. Persons who suffer from a disability, cognitive impairment, dementia, asthma, chronic obstructive lung disease, or other similar health conditions, as well as children under the age of 3 and persons within a private space, including a private vehicle, are exempted from wearing masks. After careful consideration for the health and safety of citizens and residents, as well as its commitment to restoring the Federation's economy to pre-COVID-19 levels, the government of St. Kitts and Nevis is hopeful that should things proceed as expected, it will be in a position to reopen the country's borders by October 2020. The decision was reached after extensive dialogue with relevant stakeholders, including the National Emergency Operations Center, health experts, and the business community represented by the Chamber of Industry and Commerce.
Based on discussions with stakeholders in the tourism sector, it is expected that should things go as predicted, we shall be ready to open our borders by October 2020. An expansive training program is being spearheaded by the Ministry of Tourism in collaboration with the Ministries of Health and Civil Aviation. It aims to train over 5,000 persons in the industry at no cost to participants. I'm advised that this type of training carries a cost normally of about $100 per participant, but given the need to ensure all will benefit and can be certified by the tourism authority, the training is being offered free of cost.
During his monthly press conference on August 11th, Prime Minister Dr. the Honorable Timothy Harris said, "The good news is that the major hotels are committed to continue doing business in the destination, and airlines are showing high interest to bring passengers to our shores." The passage of the Anti-Proliferation Financing of Weapons of Mass Destruction Bill 2020 in the National Assembly on August 13th forms part of the government's commitment to a world of peace and represents the administration's acceptance of the need to be a responsible member of the international community. The bill, which was introduced by Prime Minister and Minister of National Security, Dr. the Honorable Timothy Harris, speaks to the prevention, disruption, and criminalization of the financing of the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Prime Minister Harris noted that the bill helps to fulfill St. Kitts and Nevis's commitment of joining the international efforts against illicit activities and to counter the financing of terrorism.
Mr. Speaker, my administration is determined to take the right path by seeking to close the gaps that have been identified in our legislative framework.
More specifically, we are moving one step closer to closing one of these gaps. That is why this bill is brought today for consideration by the National Assembly. The necessity of advancing legislation in the area of preventing the financing of weapons of mass destruction was emphasized by our regional and international partners.
The Miscellaneous Amendments Financial Action Task Force Bill 2020 was also successfully passed in the Honorable House. The bill provides for the various amendments to facilitate the comprehensive implementation of measures to boost national security, strengthen investigative techniques, and to foster greater coherence within the financial services sector, on keeping with the requirements of the Financial Action Task Force and for related matters. As part of the Technical and Vocational Education and Training TVET Enhancement Project, the Gingerland Secondary School in Nevis will soon be outfitted with a new technical wing in order to facilitate the teaching and learning of TVET subjects. During the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of the new technical wing of the school, Minister of Education, the Honorable Jonel Powell, said that persons should no longer think of education in the traditional sense of being successful in CXC examinations.
Education must also be seen as embracing and encompassing the technical, vocational, and training aspects of the growth and development of all of our citizens. At this juncture in our nation's economic development, it must become second nature for all of our people to develop a skill or talent or an ability or the capacity that will make us capable of doing more than just sitting CXC examinations.
The new structure will comprise two floors, with the ground floor measuring 352 square meters, while the first floor measures 362 square meters, inclusive of walkways and veranda. The building, excluding the stairways and ramps, is approximately 417 square feet. It houses a cosmetology center, woodworks shop, and classroom on the ground floor, with an electrical laboratory, technical drawing, and general class on the first floor. The estimated cost of the wing is $3.9 million. Children who attend public early childhood institutions such as daycare centers and preschools in the Federation were welcomed back to school on August 10th amidst strict COVID-19 guidelines. Early Childhood Development Unit Director Kimona Brown outlined the arrival, screening, and departure procedures for early childhood facilities.
Guidelines for entering an early childhood facility. 1. Identify and use any one of the approved entry points to the center. 2. On entering the compound, look for posted signs which will provide instructions as to how to proceed. The regulations will require a person entering the premises to A. Queue up at the marked screening area by standing on the visible markers. B. Wear face mask while on the compound. And C. Sanitize hands. Screening area procedure. At each center, parents will encounter a screening area where two staff members will be stationed. 1. A staff member will perform temperature checks on all staff and children only, while the other staff member will be assigned to usher in the children. Please note, no temperature checks will be taken for parents. 2. A child or staff member who has a temperature that is equal to or greater than 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit or 38 degrees Celsius will not be allowed to enter the building. A second temperature reading will be taken half hour after the first reading to confirm whether there is a sustained elevated temperature.
The ministry has informed that children must be brought to the centers and collected by a responsible adult. buses dropping off children and on-duty traffic wardens taking children from buses will no longer be allowed. Only those children who were in the daycare prior to closure have returned to school. All new children to centers will attend on September 7, 2020, when all schools reopen. As St. Kitts and Nevis prepares to reopen its borders, all incoming passengers must submit a negative RT-PCR test 72 hours before arriving into the Federation, according to Abdiel Samuel, chair of the COVID-19 National Task Force.
Effective Monday, 10th of August, all incoming passengers into St. Kitts and Nevis must provide a negative RT-PCR test 72 hours prior to arriving on St. Kitts and Nevis. Again, all incoming passengers returning or coming into St. Kitts and Nevis must provide a negative RT-PCR test prior to arriving.
All tests must be submitted to the Office of the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Hazel Laws. The email address is hazel.laws@gov.kn. Mr. Samuel said that the relevant authorities continue to ensure that the borders are properly managed to protect citizens and residents from the spread of the coronavirus.
We continue to control our borders. Our borders are closed. However, we have said we are going in stages or phases whereby we have started with the repatriation of our nationals and residents. So we started with nationals first, then we move on to our residents. Then from residents, we know we have a number of individuals that are working in St. Kitts and Nevis, and they are contributing to our economic activities here, and hence we allow them to also return.
Persons who are married to citizens of St. Kitts and Nevis, investors, as well as students studying on the island, were also allowed to return. Minister of Labour, Senator the Honourable Wendy Phipps, informed the general public that just under 800 severance payment claims have been received to date.
Based on the number of claims that we are seeing being filed thus far, there are some just under 800 claims for severance payment that have been filed. Of that number, 309 of them are for Marriott employees. We have 112 that should be coming from the Park Hyatt. And of course, just under 90 from the Royal St. Kitts Hotel. And over the course of the last week or so, we are expecting claims to be filed for some 400 workers from the Four Seasons Resort. In addition to these claims, there have also been claims made for the long service gratuity. Some 21 claims have been made thus far.
Minister Phipps noted that by law, an individual cannot apply for long service gratuity and still severance pay because both benefits come from the same fund. Thanks for viewing SKNIS Week in Review. I am Sherima Matthew. See you next week as we continue to update you, the general public, on what's happening in and around the Federation.